council of the Jews against him. I knew that none but God could deliver me out of prison, and I was satisfied that he would do it one day by his own right hand, though ignorant of the manner and leaving it wholly to himself. In the order of divine providence, my case was laid before Madame de Maintenon, who became deeply interested in the account given her of my sufferings, and at length procured my release. A few days afterward, I had my first interview with the Abbe Fenelon. Coming out of St. Mary's, I retired into the community of Mad Marimian, where I kept my bed of a fever 3 months and had an imposthume in my eye. Yet at this time I was accused of going continually out, holding suspected assemblies, together with other groundless falsehoods. In this house my daughter was married to Monsieur L. Nicholas Broquet, Count de Vaux. I removed to my daughter's house and, on account of her extreme youth, lived with her 2.5 years. Even there my enemies were ever forging one thing after another against me. I then wanted to retire quite secretly to the house of the Benedictines at Montargis, my native place, but it was discovered and both friends and enemies jointly prevented it. The family in which my daughter was married being the number of Abbe Fenelon's friends, I had the opportunity of often seeing him at our house. We had some conversations on the subject of a spiritual life, in which he made several objections to my experiences therein. I answered them with my usual simplicity, which, as I found, gained upon him. As the affair of Molinos at that time made a great noise, the plainest things were distrusted, and the terms used by mystic writers exploded. But I so clearly expounded everything to him, and so fully solved all his objections, that no one more fully imbibed my sentiments than he, which has since laid the foundation of that persecution he has suffered. His answers to the Bishop of Meaux evidently show this to all who have read them. I now took a little private house to follow the inclination I had for retirement, where I sometimes had the pleasure of seeing my family and a few particular friends. Certain young ladies of St. Cyr, having informed Madame Maintenon that they found in my conversation something which attracted them to God, she encouraged me to continue my instructions to them. By the fine change in some of them, with whom before she had not been well pleased, she found she had no reason to repent of it. She then treated me with much respect, and for 3 years after, while this lasted, I received from her every mark of esteem and confidence. But that very thing afterward drew on me the most severe persecution. The free entrance I had into the house and the confidence which some young ladies of the court, distinguished for their rank and piety, placed in me, gave no small uneasiness to the people who had persecuted me. The directors took umbrage at it, and under pretext of the troubles I had some years before, they engaged the Bishop of Chartres, Superior of St. Cyr, to represent to Madame Maintenon that, by my particular conduct, I troubled the order of the house, that the young women in it were so attracted to me and to what I said to them that they no longer hearkened to their superiors. I then went no more to St. Cyr. I answered the young ladies who wrote to me only by letters unsealed, which passed through the hands of Madame Maintenon. Soon after, I fell sick. The physicians, after trying in vain the usual method of cure, ordered me to repair to the waters of Bourbon. My servant had been induced to give me some poison. After taking it, I suffered such exquisite pains that, without speedy succor, I should have died in a few hours. The man immediately ran away, and I have never seen him since. When I was at Bourbon, the waters which I threw up burned like spirits of wine. I had no thought of being poisoned till the physicians of Bourbon assured me of it. The waters had but little effect. I suffered from it for about 7 years. God kept me in such a disposition of sacrifice that I was quite resigned to suffer everything and to receive from his hand all that might befall me, since for me to offer in any way to vindicate myself would be only beating the air. When the Lord is willing to make anyone suffer, he permits even the most virtuous people to be readily blinded toward them. And I may confess that the persecution of the wicked is but little when compared with that of the servants of the church, deceived and animated with a zeal which they think right. Many of these were now, by the artifices made use of, greatly imposed on in regard to me. I was represented to them in an odious light as a strange creature. Since, therefore, I must, O my Lord, be conformable to Thee to please Thee, I set more value on my humiliation and on seeing myself condemned of everybody than if I saw myself on the summit of honor in the world. How often have I said, even in the bitterness of my heart, that I should be more afraid of one reproach of my conscience than of the outcry and condemnation of all men. Chapter 21. At this time I had my first acquaintance with the Bishop of Meaux. I was introduced by an intimate friend, the Duke of Chevreuse. I gave him the foregoing history of my life, and he confessed that he had found therein such an unction as he had rarely done in other books, and that he had spent 3 days in reading it, without an impression of the presence of God on his mind all that time. I proposed to the bishop to examine all my writings, which he took 4 or 5 months to do, and then advanced all his objections, to which I gave answers. From his unacquaintance with the interior paths, I could not clear up all the difficulties which he found in them. He admitted that looking into the ecclesiastical histories of ages past, we may see that God has sometimes made use of laymen and of women to instruct, edify, and help souls in their progress to perfection. I think one of the reasons of God's acting thus is that glory may not be ascribed to any, but to himself alone. For this purpose he has chosen the weak things of this world to confound such as are mighty. 1 Corinthians 1:27. Jealous of the attributes which men pay to other men, which are due only to himself, he has made a paradox of such persons, that he alone may have the glory of his own works. I pray God with my whole heart, sooner to crush me utterly, with the most dreadful destruction, than to suffer me to take the least honor to myself, of anything which he has been pleased to do by me for the good of others. I am only a poor nothing. God is all-powerful. He delights to operate and exercise his power by mere nothings. The first time that I wrote a history of myself, it was very short. In it I had particularized my faults and sins, and said little of the favors of God. I was ordered to burn it, to write another, and in it to omit nothing any way remarkable that had befallen me. I did it. It is a crime to publish secrets of the king, but it is a good thing to declare the favors of the Lord our God and to magnify his mercies. As the outcry against me became more violent, and Madame Maintenon was moved to declare against me, I sent to her through the Duke of Beauvalier, requesting the appointment of proper persons to examine my life and doctrines, offering to retire into any prison until fully exculpated. My proposal was rejected. In the meantime, one of my most intimate friends and supporters, Monsieur Fouquet, was called away by death. I felt his loss very deeply, but rejoiced in his felicity. He was a true servant of God. Determined to retire out of the way of giving offense to any, I wrote to some of my friends and bade them a last farewell, not knowing whether I were to be carried off by the indisposition which I then had, which had been a constant fever for 40 days past, or to recover from it. Referring to the Countess of G and the Duchess of M, I wrote, when these ladies and others were in the vanities of the world, when they patched and painted, and some of them were in the way to ruin their families by gaming and profusion of expense in dress, nobody rose to say anything against it. They were quietly suffered to do it. But when they have broken off from all this, then they cry out against me as if I had ruined them. Had I drawn them from piety into luxury, they would not make such an outcry. The Duchess of M, at her giving herself up to God, thought herself obliged to quit the court, which was to her like a dangerous rock, in order to bestow her time on the education of her children and the care of her family, which till then she had neglected. I beseech you, therefore, to gather all the memorials you can against me. If I am found guilty of the things they accuse me of, I ought to be punished more than any other, since God has brought me to know him and love him, and I am well assured that there is no communion between Christ and Belial. I sent them my two little printed books with my commentaries on the Holy Scriptures. I also, by their order, wrote a work to facilitate their examination and to spare them as much time and trouble as I could, which was to collect a great number of passages out of approved writers, which showed the conformity of my writings with those used by the holy penmen. I caused them to be transcribed by the choir as I had written them, in order to send them to the three commissioners. I also, as occasion presented, cleared up the dubious and obscure places. I had written them at a time when the affairs of Molinus had not broken out. I used the less precaution in expressing my thoughts, not imagining that they would ever be turned into an evil sense. This work was entitled The Justifications. It was composed in 50 days and appeared to be very sufficient to clear up the matter, but the Bishop of Meaux would never suffer it to be read. After all the examinations and making nothing out against me, who would not have thought that they would have left me to rest in peace? Quite otherwise, the more my innocence appeared, the more they did, who had undertaken to render me criminal, put every spring in motion to effect it. I offered the Bishop of Meaux to go to spend some time in any community within his diocese, that he might be better acquainted with me. He proposed to me that of St. Mary de Meaux, which I accepted, but in going in the depth of winter, I had like to have perished in the snow, being stopped 4 hours, the coach having entered into it, and being almost buried in it, in a deep hollow. I was taken out at the door with one maid. We sat upon the snow, resigned to the mercy of God, and expected nothing but death. I never had more tranquility of mind, though chilled and soaked with the snow which melted on us. Occasions like these are such as show whether we are perfectly resigned to God or not. This poor girl and I were easy in our minds, in a state of entire resignation, though sure of dying if we passed the night there, and seeing no likelihood of anyone coming to our succor. At length some wagoners came up, who with difficulty drew us through the snow. The bishop, when he heard of it, was astonished, and had no little self-complacency to think that I had thus risked my life to obey him so punctually. Yet afterward he denounced it as artifice and hypocrisy. There were times, indeed, when I found nature overcharged, but the love of God and his grace rendered sweet to me the very worst of bitters. His invisible hand supported me, else I had sunk under so many probations. Sometimes I said to myself, "All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." Psalm 42:7. Thou hast bent thy bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. Thou hast caused all the arrows of thy quiver to enter into my veins. Lamentations 3:12-13. It seemed to me as if everyone thought he was in the right to treat me ill, and rendered service to God in doing it. I then comprehended that it was the very manner in which Jesus Christ suffered. He was numbered with the transgressors. Mark 15:28. He was condemned by the sovereign pontiff, chief priests, doctors of the law, and judges deputed by the Romans, who valued themselves on doing justice. Happy they were who, by suffering for the will of God under all the like circumstances, have so near a relation to the sufferings of Jesus Christ. For 6 weeks after my arrival at Meaux, I was in a continual fever, nor had I recovered from my indisposition, when I was waited on by the bishop, who would fair have compelled me to give it under my hand that I did not believe the word incarnate, or Christ manifest in the flesh. I answered him that, through the grace of God, I know how to suffer, even to death, but not how to sign such a falsehood. Several of the nuns who overheard this conversation, and perceiving the sentiments of the bishop, they joined with the prioress in giving a testimonial, not only of my good conduct, but of their belief in the soundness of my faith. The bishop some days after brought me a confession of faith and a request to submit my books to the church, that I may sign it, promising to give me a certificate which he had prepared. On my delivering my submission sign, he, notwithstanding his promise, refused to give the certificate. Sometime after, he endeavored to make me sign his pastoral letter and acknowledge that I had fallen into those errors which he there lays to my charge, and made many demands of me of the like absurd and unreasonable nature, threatening me with those persecutions I afterward endured in case of noncompliance. However, I continued resolute in refusing to put my name to falsehoods. At length, after I had remained about 6 months at Mew, he gave me the certificate. Finding Madame Maintenon disapproved of the certificate he had granted, he wanted to give me another in place of it. My refusal to deliver up the first certificate enraged him, and as I understood they intended to push matters with the utmost violence, I thought that although I were resigned to whatever might fall out, yet I ought to take prudent measures to avoid the threatening storm. Many places of retreat were offered me, but I was not free in my mind to accept of any, nor to embarrass anybody, nor involve in trouble my friends and my family, to whom they might attribute my escape. I took the resolution of continuing in Paris, of living there in some private place, with my maids, who were trusty and sure, and to hide myself from the view of the world. I continued thus for 5 or 6 months. I passed the day alone in reading and praying to God and in working. But the December 27, 1695, I was arrested, though exceedingly indisposed at that time, and conducted to Vincennes. I was 3 days in the custody of Monsignor de Grey, who had arrested me, because the king would not consent to my being put into prison, saying several times over that a convent was sufficient. They deceived him by still stronger calumnies. They painted me in his eyes in colors so black that they made him scruple his goodness and equity. He then consented to my being taken to Vincennes. I shall not speak of that long persecution which has made so much noise for a series of 10 years' imprisonment in all sorts of prisons, and of a banishment almost as long, and not yet ended, through crosses, calumnies, and all imaginable sorts of sufferings. There are facts too odious on the part of divers persons which charity induces me to cover. I have borne long and sore languishings and oppressive and painful maladies without relief. I have been also inwardly under great desolations for several months, in such sort that I could only say these words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" All creatures seem to be against me. I then put myself on the side of God, against myself. Perhaps some will be surprised at my refusing to give the details of the greatest and strongest process of my life after I have related those which were less. I thought it proper to tell something of the crosses of my youth, to show the crucifying conduct which God held over me. I thought myself obliged to relate certain facts to manifest their falsehood, the conduct of those by whom they had passed, and the authors of those persecutions of which I have been only the accidental object, as I was only persecuted, in order to involve therein persons of great merit, whom, being out of their reach by themselves, they therefore could not personally attack, but by confounding their affairs with mine. I thought I owed this to religion, piety, my friends, my family, and myself. While I was a prisoner at Vincennes, and Monsieur de Lorraine examined me, I passed my time in great peace, content to pass the rest of my life there, if such were the will of God. I sang songs of joy, which the maid who served me learned by heart, as fast as I made them. We together sang thy praises, O my God. The stones of my prison looked in my eyes like rubies. I esteemed them more than all the gaudy brilliances of a vain world. My heart was full of that joy which thou givest to them who love thee, in the midst of their greatest crosses. When things were carried to the greatest extremities, being then in the Bastille, I said, O my God, if thou art pleased to render me a new spectacle to men and angels, thy holy will be done. December 1709. Here she left off her narrative, though she lived a retired life above 7 years after this date. What she had written being only done in obedience to the commands of her director. She died June 9, 1717, at Blois, in her 70th year. This document is from the Christian Classics Ethereal Library at Calvin College. Last updated on May 27, 1999. Contacting the CCEL.